And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 727. We're talking best ball tonight, three different formats, tons of fun stuff along the way there. In order to help me talk best ball in the fantasy baseball realm, is the best ball a big-time player, plays a lot, quality, quantity, you name it, he does it. You can find him over at The Real Deal 136. He's a constant contributor in the Bubba in the Bloom Discord, which we thoroughly appreciate. Spencer Thurman, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bubba. I'm very happy to be here talking best ball with you tonight.
Yep, looking forward to this. We got to know each other a bit, well, before the show, but also through the Discord. It's been great, and we've done some quote-unquote Discord drafting where we try to get as many people in there, and that's where we really got to know each other, it feels like, on some late night. Who wants to do another one? Those kind of things. So it's been an absolute blast. But before we get into the formats we're going to discuss, let's get to know about you a bit, and especially the best ball side of things here. So let's kind of keep it generic and go from there. How long have you been playing, let's say, fantasy baseball as a whole?
Fantasy baseball as a whole, I've been playing since my senior year, which was 2002.
Yep.
So quite a while now. I started, of course, like most people did back then, in a home league where it was roto, where everything was done on paper, where we would get the sporting news every Tuesday that would have the previous week's stats in it, and then write up our stats, send them to the commissioner. Nice. And then from there, you know, I've been playing all these years, and I have been doing best ball pretty heavily since about 2021. That's whenever I really kind of fell in love and learned about best ball 10s and underdog. Although I've been doing best ball before that, mainly in the football side, but really I've gotten into baseball the last 3 or 4 years, and I've loved it.
What makes you like the best ball aspect so much more? Because I've heard answers from different people. Some of it's to just get ready for the big draft. Some of it's because I don't want the in-season management, which I totally get. Some of it's because drafting is the best thing on the face of the planet, so let's do as much as we can. What is it about best ball that gets you more like inclined to do that more so than maybe a standard format?
Well, kind of all of the above of what you just said. But for me, I would say my number one answer is I love drafting.
Yep.
I just love drafting. I mean, I can sit and draft pretty much at any time. And that's kind of what makes underdog so great, is that a draft will fill at almost any moment if you choose to click enter. But yeah, I love drafting. And the in-season management is something that, yeah, also, I mean, I'm in a bunch of personal home leagues. I'm doing those. And then during the season, I'm setting lineups. You know, I don't really have time to do a lot of fab. I don't really care to do that. And I really enjoy drafting and watching things play out, and kind of trying to figure out the puzzle piece of how to fit players together, sometimes a whole year before you even get to the end. And it's just an exciting thing that I love. So that's really it for me. It's just the thrill of drafting and trying to put the pieces together.
All right. You said you've been drafting quite a bit here. How many drafts do you think you usually, in the end, how many do you complete between all of the best ball formats? Just a rough number. You don't have to give me the exact thing unless you have it.
Well, oh my gosh, Bubba, hundreds, probably not into the thousands on any given year, but hundreds. Football, sometimes I've been close to 1,000.
I love it though.
But baseball, usually somewhere around about 200 to 300 best balls, I would say, between underdog and best ball 10s. Best ball 10s is one of my favorite. I'm looking forward to talking about that as well. And not a lot of people know about that. No, so I'm looking forward to talk about that.
It's kind of like a hidden gem. I don't know if gem's the right word, but it's definitely under the radar.
It is to me. It is a hidden gem to me. I fell in love with it as soon as I found out about it. And it hooked me in, so.
I know we've drafted together and drafted holds, obviously, that 250 NFBC 50 we did, Gladiators and whatnot. Now, those are obviously different than the best balls, but I just want to ask you about those for a minute.
Yeah.
The Gladiators, literally 23 rounds, build your lineup, walk away. Great feeling if you just want to draft and not worry about things. Drafting holds, you still have to set your lineups bi-weekly for hitters, weekly for pitchers. How does that compare to your excitement and interest compared to the best ball formats?
Gladiators is pretty darn close, let me tell you. As soon as that came out 2 years ago and they introduced that format, I immediately was attracted to it because it's exactly like a marriage of my two favorite things of Roto and best ball. It's like having both of them in one to me. And plus there's fast drafts that fill multiple nights a week, and that's what I love doing is fast drafts. For those gladiators, I don't really do the slows, but that also, like I said, very much like with best ball, you're trying to put together the different puzzle pieces throughout the draft based off so many different factors and wherever you're at, and there's a whole nother mindset to doing these type of drafts than there is your basically everything else that you do, all of your DCs, all of your home leagues, any sort of fab management league is a completely different mindset than whenever you're doing best ball or gladiator. And Gladiator, I also had success right out of the gate. I've not had any sort of big best ball success. I'm still working, trying to find my way, but I finished second in the first Gladiator tournament, just behind Robert Orr.
That's
And
still pretty
Rob
good.
DiPietro was right behind me too. But it's super close. It came down to the last day. I had Miles Mikolas. I had Miles Mikolas on my second overall team. Don't ask me how, but it happened.
Hey,
But he
miracle
had a
happens.
great game. He had a 10K game on the last day of the season. And but Ryan Helsley came in, got the save. The other guy had Helsley, that changed the points.
Oh,
You gotta love
man.
it.
Yep.
So
Fantasy baseball in a nutshell.
fantasy baseball in a nutshell right there. But yeah, great stuff.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, because the Gladiators, it is a different beast. I kind of just do three every year. I'm to see where it goes. It's the thing that is tough for me is the time to do the live drafts is a very bad time for my evenings, and because they're almost always at 7 Eastern, almost all of them, and that makes it tricky. But it is a really cool format. I do a lot of the drafts and holds to try to get the player pool figured out before I start doing my rotos and whatnot. But I've been digging much more into the best ball formats for sure. So let's get into those. There's the best ball NFBC. There's the BB10s. And then we'll wrap up with underdog towards the end. And we'll talk a lot about that because, like, I can help in that or aid in that conversation as well, more so than the first two. But let's start with the NFBC best ball format because I know it's a different roster size. I know the scoring, so on and so forth. So why don't you just walk us through it? Like, when we're looking at rosters and like the draft per se at a best ball, what are we looking at in an NFBC format?
No problem. So first off, on NFBC, there are three different kinds of best ball formats or tournaments, I guess you'd say. Well, really two tournaments and then a double up format. So start with the double up format first off. So it's $100, sometimes more than that. Best ball double up that you can get in, where it's a 12 team league. You have to finish in the top five to double your money. And those are really fun. 50 teams, or I'm sorry, 50 rounds, 12 teams. So those are good ones, but they're kind of an individual thing where you're just you against those other 12 guys and you're not worrying about anything else. So those are pretty simple. The others are two different tournaments that they have. The first tournament is, that I personally am a big fan of, is the Best Ball Championship tournament. So it's $150, although I do know that there are higher dollar entry leagues for those as well, but it's still part of the same tournament. But in those, it's 46 rounds. It's not 50. Those are also 12 teams as well. And those, you are not only trying to win your individual 12 team league, but you are also in an overall tournament. And those are weeks 1 through 17. So that's how a lot of, well, most all of the best ball 10s that we talk about, and very much different than underdog. We'll talk about when we get there with how the playoffs work in that. But so it's just weeks 1 through, I said 17. That was the football slip right there. 1 through 27
No
is how
problem.
many weeks there are in baseball. And so anyway, in that tournament, the Best Ball Championship, I have done quite a few entries for the last few years, and I have not been able to crack that formula. I thought I had it last year. Halfway All-Star break, I had multiple teams in the top 20, and I'm like, here we go. This is going to be good. And everything crashed and burned. So I'm still trying to crack that egg, but I really enjoy it. Those are fun drafts. I've done one of them already. in a slow draft. I've decided I'm going to do a couple more, but I'm going to wait and do them when we get a little closer. Now, probably the most popular best ball tournament on NFBC is called Best Ball Cutlines.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever played in the Cutline tournament, Bubba?
I've done a couple. The only thing that I really struggle with is the fab, but you'll get into that in a minute. That's what crushes me in those formats.
So I did Cutline for multiple years. Last year was my first year where I decided I'm not going to do any leagues that have FAB.
Okay.
So that included for me cutting off the Cutline tournament. So now the Cutline tournament, though, the FAB is nowhere near as bad as others. So let me get into what this tournament is because it is really fun. And a lot of people do very much enjoy it because there's a lot of intricacies to this tournament. So first off, it's a 10-team league as opposed to a 12. It's also 46 rounds, I believe, although
Yeah,
now I'm thinking
pretty.
maybe it's 42.
It's 42. Yeah, I'll double
Maybe it's
check for you.
42 actually
Yeah.
for Cutline, but it's 10-team league. So they're much smaller leagues than all of the other formats. So pretty much when you draft a Cutline, you're going to have a team that you like.
42.
42. Yep. As soon as I said it, I was like, yeah, I don't think it's 42. In that format, there's only two periods of FAB. So that is the good thing, is that there's not a lot. You don't have to do FAB every week. Still, you're not setting a lineup. It is still best ball. But you do have to deal with how much money you spend in the first FAB go around, which is early in the season. And then you have I want to say it's July is whenever the second FAB period is. So I've tried different ways, like saving my money, spending my money, splitting my money. And personally, I've just not had success in that either. And so I just decided last year that it just wasn't for me. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with not doing FAB leagues. That's why I love doing best balls. But this is a really cool mixture of the two, and it is a fun tournament to get in. Their price point on those is also 150. And I'm pretty sure, just like with the others, that you can get in higher dollar individual leagues for that. I'm pretty positive. But yeah, those are the three main best ball formats on NFBC.
Yeah, and I guess I dabbled in the cut line. I haven't done a best ball, but I think I want to because I like the cut line's crazy because if it's 42 rounds, 10 teams, 420 players. Like those are stacked teams
Exactly. You have all-star teams.
for degenerates like us doing DCs and stuff. A 420 is just that's barely more than an OC right now. That's crazy. But the best ball being the 46 rounds, 12 teams. You got to get a little deeper, and you can't replace people like you can in the cut line, which is kind of nice. That cut line fab period where like you still have the $1,000 budget, and you're trying to figure out how to spend, and depending on when you draft, the players available on that first fab is just nuts usually, and then you're trying to save enough money for the back end because you know more injuries are going to happen, but how do you do it? There's just a million different questions involved there, and it's not a Sunday night fab. It's like a Tuesday night fab. That always screwed me up because I'm a creature of habit, and that made things tricky there. But and then the double up seemed kind of a nice way to maybe build a bankroll if you're confident in what you're doing, for sure. And it's
Exactly.
interesting. And it's interesting. I didn't realize there are 50 rounds. That's an interesting twist as well. Scoring. This is where best ball gets interesting. This is where each
It is.
different format between NFBC, BB10s, underdogs, maybe even these ones. Scoring gets different. So how do we look at scoring for these? Because that will obviously affect your drafting when you're doing all of that.
So that's going to be a big thing when we talk about underdog later. But for these, so actually, Bubba, all of NFBC and Best Ball 10s all use the same scoring for Best Ball.
Beautiful.
So you don't have to worry about different scoring. And back a few years ago, I don't remember, I wish I could remember who I heard say this in a podcast, but it may have been Jason Collette. Anyway, it was someone who was there with working with NFBC in the ground floor when they came up with the best ball scoring format. And they talked about how they really wanted to make best ball scoring that kind of mirrored Roto. And that's something that I love about how they do things on best ball 10s and NFBC for the scoring. It's a very I don't want to say simplified, but it's a very clear way to understand how you get the points. And even when we get to underdog and talk about scoring, it's going to be much different. So I actually wrote this down. I don't want to get it wrong here, although I probably could tell you without looking, but here's the scoring. So for hitting, you get points, 4 points for a hit, 2 points for a run, six for a homer, two for an RBI, five for a steal. Now, here's the caveat: negative one for every at bat. So that can absolutely change things up because if you have a cold week, you're going to be scoring in the negatives. And if you don't have someone to
Interesting.
fill into that spot, then you might have to take a negative in your lineup, and that's not good. So you do not want that. That's what you want to avoid. But
Interesting.
it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You have a lot of people that go for a week of 1 for 20, and that week they might have scored negative 15 points or something. You know, I mean, it can be pretty rough. So that is a very interesting caveat, the negative one. When I'll tell you this right now, on underdog, there's no negatives for hitting. So, but that is a caveat for all of NFBC. And then for pitching. So for pitching, you get 6 points for a win, 8 points for a save. Well, right there, that makes you think, oh, well, you know, good closers are going to jump out, which is not necessarily wrong, but 3 points for an innings pitched. That's an
That changes
interesting one.
things. Yeah.
One for a K.
Okay.
Now the negatives. Negative one for a hit, negative one for a walk, and negative two for an earned run. So, let me just get, let's pull up an example. Bubba, tell me a week, give me a week of last season, 1 through 27.
22.
Okay, 22. And then give me a position.
Starting pitcher.
All right, starting pitcher. All right, so let me just give you an example here. So, the top scoring pitcher of the week was a normally the top pitchers in this format have two starts.
That
So
helps him.
that's something to keep in mind also with underdog. Two starts are key. So these teams that are starting to go to six-man rotations, especially a big thing with, I mean, the Dodgers, the best team in baseball, but if they're going to have a six-man rotation and nobody ever gets two starts,
Yeah.
it's going to hurt Blake Snell. Like, that's for sure. A lot of his high scoring weeks, I will tell you, come in two start weeks, as most do. But anyway, Gavin Stone was the number one scoring pitcher this week. He had two starts. He had 54 points in those two starts, 14 innings. He got a win, 17 Ks, but he only gave up one earned run. And he had for those two starts a 0.6 whip. So 54 points. Now let's juxtapose that with down at the bottom. All right, one of the best pitchers who had a bad week that week was, there wasn't a ton, but let's go with John Gray. So
Okay.
John Gray had a start where he had four with 4 innings. He gave up 3 runs, got the loss, and it was negative 10 points.
Cool.
That's all you got for the week. So you can think about how when you're filling in your roster. So let's actually talk about rosters for
Yeah.
a minute in these formats. We haven't done that.
There you
And how many have to start, because that's a big thing.
go. Yeah, good point.
So on NFBC, you have to have every week 9 pitchers that factor. This is for the double ups, this is for the cut lines, and this is for the best ball championship. Now, the actual starting lineups are exactly like what everyone's used to for draft champions. So you have your two catchers, your first, second, third short, corner, middle, five outfield, and utility. So everyone's used to these, and then the 9 Ps, they can be relief pitcher or starter. But boy, let me tell you, that's a whole thing where I've gone back and forth over these last few years on how to mix in relievers versus starters. There's
Yeah, so I
a
was trying to
whole
figure out.
strategy to this. And I've found after stat tracking everything for the last 4 seasons that it changes on a season to season basis. So
Okay.
this year is going to be real interesting on how to do that. But nonetheless, so these 9 pitchers that have to factor, you might in a 46 round draft, you might only draft 19, 20, or 21 pitchers
True.
total. So almost half of your pitchers have to score every week.
Oh.
So you can see how you've got to get by with positive points. You have to fill in positive points every week. So, yeah, you're going to dry points with two start weeks and with starters, but that's where the relievers can kind of help fill in because they can kind of get a steady basis of 10 to 25 points, especially closers since saves are worth eight.
Yeah.
And they can help, smooth things out to get your team by. So, but you still have to hit those big starters every week. And they're not that easy to come by. Let me just give you an example here. So this is just last season. So at starting pitcher, there was a total of 320 starting pitchers that I tracked through the whole season. Okay. Out of those 320 starting pitchers, there was only of impact weeks, there was only 4% of the time were in. Now,
Wow.
what an impact week for me, and I'll talk about this too in a minute, but it's 30 or more points.
Okay.
So anyone that scores 30 or more.
Yeah, that
And
makes more sense.
so only 4% of the time did that happen. So in other words, you see, with pitchers, like that can be a real driver of what's going to get you there each week.
Okay, my question, then we'll stick to pitchers here before we go to the other side of this. In a world where we see, only two or three starters be really dominant or really like consistent innings, and then a lot of rotations have a fourth and a fifth that there's piggybacks or a lot of moving parts type thing. Do you see a world where like a Jose or like a Jose Buto who gets the long relief becomes more valuable than a closer sometimes? Or I don't know if that yet that's checked out or
Nope.
not. And then the other question would be if only 4% of starters are getting impacts. Or only 4% were impact starts or weeks, I guess you're saying. Does it make sense to punt the elite pitchers and focus more like in the globs later on?
Absolutely, to answer that
Okay.
question, 100%. Now, I'm not saying you still don't want to take a couple, in the higher rounds. Like you can have some anchors on your team. That's pretty nice to have. But out of your first, let's say, 20 rounds, personally, I wouldn't have maybe two or three out of the top 10 rounds would be pitchers. And but I wouldn't take any of the top 3 rounds personally. Not anymore. I used to, but I've really, so when we get to hitters and talk about them, now there it's a whole nother story. Hitters can score a bunch of points. They're the driver of what shoots your score up every week is hitting. I wanted to go back to just use Jose Buto as the example, since you just brought him up a minute ago. So, Jose Buto, let's see here real quick. So last season, oh, I had him in my starting pitchers. Okay, that's right. Because going into last year, I thought he was going to be a starting pitcher and not a relief pitcher. Okay. So he had a good season, wouldn't you say? Like a really solid season. 2.52 ERA, 7 wins. He had 3 saves, a 105 whip. It'd be kind of hard pressed to say that he'll be much better than that again. I mean, if he's that good again, then that's great. And you can look at his overall points and then compare that to other pitchers. But from how I like to look at it, from a what impact did he make to your team? He had 1 week all season that he was able to get to over 30 points. So he had one impact week. And that week, he got a win and a save and didn't give up any earned runs in 4 innings. That's what
Okay.
it took to get to 30 points. But that only happened once. Other than that, he had 3 weeks where he had just over 20.
Okay.
So he middle relievers like that, they're not really doing much
Okay.
for you. If you aren't going to have the chance to get saves and get that 8 point pop for the saves,
It's
even
not
really
worth it.
good middle relievers aren't doing much.
Okay, so you want to have probably more of the top end closers, the bottom end. It's there fewer and far between good weeks, it feels like, saves wise. Pitching, you can kind of focus more on that glob probably and pepper that to get the elite hitters. So let's talk about those hitters here. When I think And I get, and most of my best balls through underdogs. So obviously scoring's different here. Like I always think when you're talking best ball, we're talking points. We're talking more OBP centric players. Cause obviously it's not, those aren't plate appearances. Now you get points, you can do other things. That makes sense to me, but how are you focusing your attention to the hitting side of things compared to maybe, let's just say, a standard roto draft where our brains are focused on the ADP we see right now? How does that differentiate when you head into a best ball draft?
Well, first off, I don't worry about batting average at all. That's a huge thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like the typical DC roto mindset that we all have, everyone that drafts, you just don't have to worry about it. What matters is production. How many hits are they getting? How many runs are they driving in? I mean, like you said, you know, this is what's going to really matter to you in best ball. So just from a hitter to a pitcher comparison, let me just give you a stat here to get an idea for, like, out of the top people. So out of all of the top, let's go with heavy impact people that really, like the top, the best of the best, the top 28 players in best ball last year, three of them were pitchers. Wow. Out of those three pitchers, the top three pitchers from an impact perspective, and I'll talk about in a minute what I do here for my own personal system and how I evaluate people's stats in best ball on NFBC and best and BB10s. It's not just off of their points scored. I have a different weight for the weeks that they really have big weeks. Those have more of a weight, because if a guy is going to score, a pitcher is going to score 40 points in a week, well, that needs to be more valuable to you. It's more of an impact to your team's overall score than multiple pitchers that score 15 or 20. And that seems pretty obvious.
Yep.
But to have like one number, I kind of have this impact score. The top three pitchers were Wheeler and then Clase A and Helsley.
Wait a minute, Wheeler. So two closers.
Two closers, correct.
I had to double check that I heard you correctly. I'm like, yes. Wait a minute.
There were three pitchers in the top 28 hitters, and those three were Wheeler, Clase A, and Helsley. I think
Clase A and Helsley had like elite save seasons that are like so hard to get more often than not.
How are you going to count on that?
Yeah.
And where is Helsley and Clase going to go, turn around and go in these drafts this year? In the top 10 rounds. So are they going to repeat it? Well, personally, I wouldn't want to bet on it. They could, obviously. Yeah. They could both be really good again and be up there. But I would rather just go with a dependable starter who I feel is going to be there and get innings and have a chance to get two start weeks and just... That's what I would rather do with my early picks. And this has changed last year. I'll tell you, after two seasons ago, last year, I really thought that hitting relief pitchers and closers hard was the best way to win these things, these deep NFBC best balls. And it, and like I mentioned earlier, I had a lot of teams doing well halfway through the season. But if closers crash and burn at the end of the year, like they almost always do, well, guess what happened to my pitching? And my lineups, they also crashed and burned. Seawald, Bednar. I mean, the list could go on and on, right?
Well, that's why you're closers. Top 20 at the break. They're still doing well. And then it all went downhill in the second half.
And then
half.
It just all went downhill. And as soon as, so this year, I've adjusted. And now this year, I'm going back to more of this solid starter mindset. And I'll mix in, like, one of my favorite picks so far has been Jeff Hoffman in best ball, because he's super down low in the list, because not knowing if he's going to be a starter or whatever. So he usually goes way later than all of the other guys because people aren't looking to scroll down that far. But yet there's a closer that you can throw in as your pitcher, maybe 12 or 13 in round 20 something right now in these drafts. So that's something that I like to look at, something like that. But again, not speculating on the middle relievers, unless you think that middle reliever can turn into a closer. I mean, at that point, it's different.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Cause yeah, I was trying to wrap my head around the relief. I'm thinking like middle relievers get you innings. It's like an AJ Puck could be interesting, cause he could close, could be a win strikeout asset, but you're still hoping for a lot there, which makes it tricky. On the hitting side of things, you mentioned 25 of the top 28 players. we're basically we're hitters. And you're talking about impact weeks and all that kind of stuff. How do you break down attacking positions, I guess, or does it matter? Like, is it just like regular fantasy? You still need the stats, you need the roster. Like, it doesn't really matter as much. Or are you finding an edge where it's like in a roto format, we might think we just wait on second base because it's just kind of rough to begin with, where maybe it's a different position in best ball or something like that. Have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah. So here's the way I think that is the best way to handle doing these big NFBC best ball rosters is to just anchor the best players and best hitters you can, regardless of position, in the top 10 rounds. So you can take into effect how deep or thin you think any certain position is, and then maybe spend up, right? You don't like third base. And if you have pick four, maybe you take Jose Ramirez instead of insert your player, right? You know, because you want to lock up third base. So I get it. Like, having that locked and loaded, a star like that, that's going to factor almost every single week and be locked in there, that's huge. So you can, I like to think of anchoring these different positions. Now, once you have anchors, I always like to then look at multi-position eligible players. That's such a huge thing in best ball, or people that are going to gain multi-position eligibility, a la Colt Keith, right? Yeah. Like, you know, second baseman who'll gain first, and you can still get him in the teens. So someone I definitely like looking to fill in rosters. But outfield, you don't want to let outfield get away from you. You don't want to let catcher get away from you. I'm sure you'll probably like to hear this in best ball. I really like to spend up on catcher. I like to have two strong catchers, because that's easily something that can differentiate you from other lineups in your league, is having good points at catcher. Because a lot of people are gonna, catchers is the weakest scoring position, by the way. So out of
makes sense when you think about it.
So William Contreras, easily the hands down best catcher, right? Easily. I would say so, at least. But where did William Contreras line? Not in the top 25. I mean, I'll tell you that. I could tell you exactly here, exactly where he went. But William Contreras, he was clear, hands and above, better than everyone else at catcher, but still didn't compare to the other top hitters. So that's where I'm like, you need to have good catchers, but not necessarily overspend at the very top. You can wait till you get down a little bit low and then hammer back-to-back strong ones. You know, you could do O'Hop and Shea Langeliers, right? Or Real Muto. And then I usually like to have at least three or four, you know, to have a couple backups on your bench. I will wait, though. I'll wait on those and just try to hit. If I have two strong ones. Now, if I have one strong one, and then I wait, then I might go with like three closer together, you know? So it depends on the draft, but rarely will I push catcher and best ball, which is very much different than something like Gladiator, where I find myself pushing catcher all the time.
Yeah, man, Gladiator, I totally get why too. So 46 player roster, you have, you said you take anywhere from 19 to 21 pitchers is kind of how most of them come to be. So that means you have about 25 to 27 bats. How do you prefer to do your bench, your backups? You mentioned catcher, you usually have about four. Multi-position helps a ton. Like in our Discord right now, they just said Jazz Chisholm's supposed to play second base. Now you might get second, third, and outfield with Jazz. That's beautiful, because you also got MICI. That's a unicorn type situation. How do you approach the rostering, I guess?
So every draft's different, right? You got to take each draft as you go based off of how things fall to you. So you have to just draft to kind of really get in there and get the feel. But in general, I will tell you, don't let outfield get away from you. Outfield can get rough quick once you get to the late teens, early 20s. And if that's a position where you have to have five each week. So that's the most of any hitting position you need to have, is outfield by far. So you need to be good there. That's again where multi-position eligible players come into play. If they have outfield eligibility with infield, it's gold to me. That's gold. I absolutely love it. So it's funny, your last year's mascot, Mr. Ringifo, he's been my mascot since 2022 because
Smart
I take
man.
him in every best ball 10. He's been my number one drafted guy. Now this year he only has second and third eligibility. So he has dipped a little bit as far as the eligibility is concerned. But before the last couple of years when he had four positions, and he was going in the mid-teens to 20s, I took him in all of my drafts over the last few years. But guys like that are great glue guys. So if you have your anchors and you have your studs, and then you're mixing in, you're dotting in pitching, then you mix in all of your glue with the multi-position guys and people that can move around and fill in spots, and then really hit pitching heavy once you get into the 20s. That's where, again, for me and what I'm looking at doing, I love that range of pitchers in there because you can find all sorts of, I mean, like last year, the 10th best impact pitcher was Seth Lugo. You could get him at the end of all of these. I mean, there's just countless choices of guys down there. I mean, this year, I'll just tell you from the same team, Michael Wacha goes in round 28 to 30, usually, of most of these best
He'd
balls.
be a boring good best ball pitcher, probably.
And he's a boring, great pitcher who can just
Yeah.
constantly, turn out those 20-point weeks. Yeah, it's not huge, it's not a driving, but it's a really good guy to just have factor. So people like that.
No, I like that quite a bit. Any final things here before we do a quick BB10 and head to underdog? Because it is quite interesting. There is obviously a different a way to attack these, I should say.
It's very, very different. So these are a beast. Like I said, I'm still trying to learn these. I'm no expert with these deep NFBC best balls, but I'm a player who loves it and
Yes.
is out there every year trying
Perfect.
to crack the code. And so, but this is the way that I like to look at things. And I will tell you my number one rule. If Shohei
Yes.
Ohtani's there, draft him.
Yes.
Like, you want to talk about a cheat code for best ball on NFBC and on best ball 10s is Shohei Ohtani because he will factor for you when he's pitching. So 2 years ago from an in 2022, from an impact perspective, Shohei Ohtani was crazy. Shohei Ohtani, so by the way, the best of the best hitters, the best of the best, like that top 23 I was telling you about earlier, that's over 70 impact score.
Wow.
Last year, Ohtani from just hitting 145. It was insane from just hitting because
Wow.
the 2 years prior, he had a 77 impact score in 2022 of hitting and a 67 of pitching. He was the 10th best pitcher in 2022.
That's
Pitcher,
insane.
just pitcher only.
Yep.
It was
That's awesome.
crazy. And then in 2023, he had a 99 hitting and a 33 pitching, although he did miss time at the end of the year in 23 from a pitching. By far, over the last 4 years, though, I will tell you this, by far, the single best season was, it wasn't even close. It was Ronald Acuna in
Oh,
23.
yeah, I
I
bet.
mean, Ronald Acuna crushed even Aaron Judge's 2022, where he had that monster 60 homer season, right?
Yeah.
Last year's monster Ohtani season. Acuna, he didn't have a single negative week. Out of the 27 weeks, what I consider impact, the 30 or more points, 24 of 27 for Acuna for 30 or
That's
more
insane.
points. And he
That's
didn't
almost
have a
every week.
single week that less than, sorry, he had 1 week less than 20. One.
Just one. Jesus.
It was
That's
just insane. So what Acuna did in 23 from a best ball perspective, it just, if you didn't have him, good luck. I mean, he broke the thing.
yeah.
But nonetheless, so to talk about best ball 10s, let's move on to that.
Yeah, because this is a totally different animal. Obviously, the price point's different. The roster size is different. Sounds like the scoring's the same, though. So that's a
Scoring
plus.
is the same. Yep.
Yeah, so that's a plus. But how are we looking at the rosters and the entries for this one? That might make it more, I guess, feasible, maybe enjoyable. We'll see, but feasible for many more people.
Well, I'll tell you, not enough people know about Best Ball 10s. And I hope that people hear us talking tonight. And if they don't know about it, go check it out. First off, it's a part of the NFBC website. That's why it's the same scoring. So it's like a sister, I guess you'd call it, site. I don't know. But if you're on the NFBC website, you will see Best Ball 10s as an option just to move over to. And over there, it's I fell in love with this in 2020. I had never heard of it. I think it was Paul Spohr actually who I heard talk about it on one of his podcasts, and I jumped in. I did two drafts right before like the season resumed from COVID, and I ended up getting first and one, and then I was hooked. Just in that
That's
little 2 month
all it
span,
takes.
I was hooked. I immediately dove in and going into 2021. And mostly best ball 10s is done via slow drafts. I'll tell you that first off before anything. So if you're looking at fast drafting, they do have them, and I'm hoping more people will know about it and join the site, and we can get more fast drafts, because if we get more people joining, we could do fast drafts every night. Like, there's always drafts scheduled. We have a hard time filling them because not enough people know. So normally it's all done slow, but slow drafts normally are, at this time of year, are picking up. They're starting to fill almost every day. So just first off, what is Best Ball 10? So it's much smaller rosters. So here's what you have from a roster to fill each week: one catcher, first, second, third, short, two outfield,
Oh, geez.
one utility, and then four pitchers.
Just any type of pitcher?
Any type of pitcher, just
Oh,
four of
geez.
them. So you th that's it. You just have very small weekly factoring lineups. You draft 32 rounds, so 12 of them start and 20 are on the bench every week. There's a bunch of different formats of styles of games. So you have either what's called a top three league. You can do a $5 league, a $10 league. Those are the most prevalent. That's also why I love this. You're not in a it's not a big giant tournament, right? You are, it's kind of the way I look at best ball 10s, it's kind of for the love of best ball. I guess that's kind of
Yes.
the way I like to
It's
think of it,
probably why they're
is
not as popular as people want.
and
They're
it's
always, the
probably
people are
why they're not as
thirsty.
popular. I mean, it's true, because you're not looking at building up a giant payroll with it. Although I've done pretty good, but I've also done like every single draft for the last 3 years on there. So
Helps.
that helps. But nonetheless, so you either do a top three where you, out of your 12 team league, you have to finish in the top three. That's pretty obvious to be in the money. They have a classic format, which is a first place gets it all type of deal. So let's just use an example and say you do a $10 classic. It's 12 teams, $100 goes to first place. When you do a 12 team top three, that's a $10, $75 to first place, and it's like $38 to second place, and then like $15 to third, if I remember right. That's it's pretty close to those payouts. But they have $5 as well. $5 are only top threes. But then they do offer $25 and $50 leagues as well. So, oh, I also didn't mention double ups. So you also have the $10 and then $25 or $50 double ups. Now, over the last few years, there's only been like one or two 50s that have filled. Not enough people are on there to do the higher dollar ones. There's usually somewhere around, over the last few years, around like a dozen or so of the $25 leagues that will fill. So it's mostly all the $5 and $10 variety. But just to give you an example, so like right now, and I'm in all of them. Right now, we have it started in the middle of November is whenever they kicked them off. Not that many people joined. It took a while to get going. But once we started hitting traction into November, December, we started filling drafts. I have 15 completed drafts right now on there, and I'm in 16 slow drafts that are currently going on. It's really easy to manage a lot of slow drafts, at least for me. Now, granted, this is what I've been doing consistently now for the last few years, so I'm used to it. But I tell my buddies all the time that I'm trying to, I'm always trying to get my friends to do these as well. And I tell them, I'm like, hey, when you do the slows, because most people don't like doing slows, you know, most people hate slow drafts. But if you're doing multiple slow drafts at once, you can always have a pick when you go to check your go to it. You know, you've always got a pickup, and the clock is always between 2 to 4 to 8 hours on best ball tens. So you've got time, right? You don't have to be right on it. Like, I'm not checking whenever we finish this, I'll look and I'll have a few picks that are up in these leagues, I have no doubt. But you can set your picks to auto, you can set a queue, and then you can set it just to auto 1 round, or you can set it to auto 2 rounds. So, you know, if you know that you're 4 picks away and there's 5 people you like, you can set your queue 1 through 5 and then hit auto 1 round. You don't even have to check it. It's almost like a special gift when you go look and see who you got, you know?
Perfect.
That's best ball tens in a nutshell, as far as the sizes, the formats, just like that. But it's real, like I said, it's really fun. I wish more people did it. It's a lot of us same guys that are on there doing it. But we love it. So anyone else, come join. Slow drafts filling all the time.
That's good. And you mentioned, so I got one catcher, first, second, third, short, so no MI or CI, only two outfielders instead of five, only four pitchers, 32 rounds instead of 46, so 14 fewer players makes sense. How do you approach your roster construction in that sense? Because I think that's where it gets tricky, is some people might think, okay, I need less of this or less of that, and obviously there's 14 fewer picks, so you navigate differently. But should we be navigating differently, I guess, is the question on this.
At the top, no. So at the very top, no. Other than, with an exception, you don't have to necessarily take the best outfielders at the top,
Yeah, only two of them.
because with only two, you are going to. So let me actually first tell you how many I like to draft of each position. So I want to have, this is all depending on the draft because it can change depending on who you have, between 10 to 12 pitchers, 10 to 12 out of your 32. The rest of them hitting. So as far as each position, because I like to spend up at catcher, I usually will take two strong catchers in the top 10 rounds, usually somewhere around like Wilson Contreras in round 6. And then maybe Will Smith in round 7, right? I might double tap them like that. And then I got two strong ones. Usually the best catchers in there, like Adley and Yiner, they don't go till round 5-ish anyways. William is like round 3 or 4. But I like to get two strong catchers. If not, if you got one, you need to go three. You need to go three catchers if you only have one good one. Because as soon as you have an injury, you do not want to be taking negatives. Or
Multiple
just bet,
options.
like you're just going to lose. So you've got to have someone that's going to factor every week. And if you don't, your team's not going to win. So multi-position flexibility is that much even more key in best ball tens. I will take easily someone like Vlad Guerrero or Lindor at the turn of the 1-2, as opposed to Tatis or Corbin Carroll, which is exactly opposite of what I would do in Roto. So that's just right out of the gates. I like to have at least three eligible of every infield position, minimum. Like, this is the minimum. And then six outfield minimum. And when you now, obviously, you can't fit all of them if you're talking about guys with single eligibility. You know, you have to factor that multi-eligibility in, but these are the minimum. I mean, a lot of times with multi-eligibility, I might have 12 or 13 eligible outfielders because I've got that
That's
many
true.
infield multi-eligible guys. But it is a key. You have to have that to have good teams and best ball tens, because like I said, you have to fit good scores every week. But I like taking a good DH, a good utility, because that's that spot every week, that util, that if you have a good util in there, it's again, it's an anchor, right? It's like, again, if you, that's why Ohtani, hands down, if you can get him, you take Ohtani. But Rooker, Ozuna, who's the other big one right there that I'm blanking on? Schwarber. Right, like these guys are big, or later you wait, you get Stanton at the end, or you get Jock Peterson at the end, right? You still can get this, and then if that locks in that utility, it just helps condense the rest of your lineup to where guys have to factor in. You
That's
know,
true.
when
Makes
you think
sense.
about it that way, people, you know, you try to squeeze your team to fit the best score in. You know, and a good way to do that is by locking in utility and locking in catcher with a good score every week.
Makes sense.
Now, pitcher, I definitely switch things up with this, but the good closers, again, this year I'm pushing. Now, if we were talking about this last year, I would have been like, suck up all the closers that you can, you know. But now I'm really, really trying to hammer the steady starting pitcher, but I'll just mix in closer. So out of 11 or 12 guys, maybe I have two or three closers, maybe, but I'm not really targeting them. I'm not looking for it. It just sort of has to be a fall where it makes sense. And guys will fall, by the way. I mean, you're going to be able to get good pitchers into the 20s. And people like Lucas Ursegg in Best Ball 10s, someone like him or Ryan Walker are there in round 18, 19, 20.
Oh,
Like,
that's
you know,
beautiful.
it's not that's so getting a closer like that, it's not like a normal draft that you're doing. And very much like how underdog is not like normal drafts that you're doing, and a whole nother mindset that we'll get to here in a minute. But w so that's the way that I like to do it this year is I'm really pushing pitching. I've been getting usually like three or four pitchers in the top 20, maybe even just two pitchers in the top 20 rounds, and then just hammering and finishing with 11 or 12 guys and just hammering starters, which, you know, at the very end of drafts in the like people that I've been drafting a lot of at the very end recently have been guys like Eric Fetty and Sugano and Verlander and Taillon. These are in round like 28, 29, 30, you know, David Peterson, Grant Holmes, Clay Holmes, you know, all of these guys that I mean, they're all available. They're all there. And you can just grab them. You know, a surprising guy last year that no one thinks about being good, but he finished as like the 44th best starting pitcher in this format was Jake Irvin.
Oh, I just did my Nationals podcast, comes out Thursday. I was shocked when I saw how many innings pitched Jake Irvin
Yeah.
had this past year. It's insane. Like, he was literally just out there to, like, hey, we have a young rotation. You need to throw at least six innings. Like, go. It was
And if you didn't
crazy.
know, he was there. He pitched
Yep.
every week
On a
and he
low four
factored.
ERA, so you can get crushed. Like, it was pretty good. Yeah.
And so, like, even someone like that, like, you just find these guys down there that you can just pluck at the end. And let me tell you what you can't find at the end in Best Ball 10 hitting. Oh boy,
Interesting.
hitting gets rough quick because everything I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that knows
Yeah.
this. And I like to think that all these people that are in here doing these drafts, like they're looking at the teams that I'm building and then looking at changing things up, you know, to kind of see what I'm doing. I say that because everyone has seen my name in every single draft for the last three seasons. So
Yes.
they all know if they're doing a best ball 10, they're going to be going against me. So, hitting is key. Like that they are soaked up and gone. You don't find anyone good once you hit round 23 or 24. I
Very,
was
very
debating
interesting.
earlier on at the end. I was looking and I was like, man, do I take Luis Angel Acuna? Is he going to even do anything? Or do I just take a starter that's going to at least pitch? You know, it
Yeah.
was like as my shortstop five option, right? Yeah, I ended up just going with the starter. This was a team I had Lindor, so I was kind of thinking like, do
Yeah.
I kind of want Lindor insurance? You know,
Gotcha.
I decided against it. But these are the type of things that you think about at the end of these drafts, and that's why it's so easy just to find starters that are going to pitch. Now, I say it's easy to find starters that are going to pitch. Obviously, there are landmines throughout. You know how earlier I mentioned that there was only 4% of starting pitchers that had impact weeks.
Yeah.
Last year, if you were to guess, Bubba, from just a do not play, okay? So either minor league or injured, okay? What percent of starting pitchers were do not play on a weekly basis
Know how
overall out of 320?
I have a rough idea of how many players pitchers got injured last year, so I'm gonna go with 210.
Well, so you said a number instead of a percent.
Sorry. So that would be So it's 160. Let's go with 65%.
So you're very close if you combine do not play with useless.
Okay.
So do not play minors or injured list from just starting pitchers was 50% of the
Jesus.
time.
I believe it.
And 22% of the time was useless weeks where they didn't even score you over 10 points.
So
So
72% of the time.
it's not going to do anything. So over that, now granted, that's all of the starting pitchers. So
Yeah.
obviously we're not looking at just the top ones, you know, that then that number will change. But it's just to illustrate the point, you know, you can't always just wait on pitchers and fines. I like to think that I can try to pluck out good ones, but I know at the same time I can be wrong just as much as anyone, and I am wrong a lot.
You and me both, my friend. You and me both. All right. Let's talk underdog.
Underdog.
Let's have some fun with this. This is how we kind of got to draft together and get to know things. We have a fun chat going in the Discord. Ryan and I have been lucky enough to have a Bubba in the Bloom partnership now with Underdog Fantasy. So if you are new to Underdog and you want to make your first deposit, get a $1,000 deposit match, up to a $1,000 deposit match. Let me be very clear on that one. Use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, and you'll get that deposit bonus match on your first deposit. So that's pretty cool of them to hook it up there. And if you do so, you can do $100, you'll match 100, so on and so forth. You can come do some drafts as we got the dinger going, $10 entry, got the bunt, which is $3, and so many more. And they'll keep making them as they keep filling. So bring it on, folks. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Spencer, let's talk about the rosters, because like you've kind
Yeah.
of hinted at so far, and see, I can actually kind of give thoughts on this now because I do a lot of these also. But rosters are different, scoring's different.
Massively
This
different.
is a whole different animal when we're doing things. I think it's fun this way. I enjoy it, makes my brain have to think differently. So start with the rosters. How are we doing things
Yep.
differently on rosters here?
All right. First off, oh, by the way, the bunt filled. So they'll
Oh,
post
good. I
another.
already mac already maxed it out,
Yep,
so we're good
I
there.
saw it filled the other day.
So the bunt
So
two will be coming out soon.
the bunt two coming soon. That's right. Congratulations, by the way, on the Underdog
Oh,
sponsorship.
thank you. Thank you.
I abs I'll second all of it. I absolutely love Underdog. I'm probably one of their better customers. I've gave a lot of money to them in the last several years. So, and I have not got it back yet, but I'm hoping. It
Time,
only takes
practice.
one team,
Practice
one
makes
year.
perfect.
So, first off, as far as what rosters are, so three pitchers, three infielders, three outfielders, and a utility. That's 10 starters. And then you draft 10 bench. You're doing 20 round drafts with 12 team leagues. So, not super deep, but deep enough. Right. And so much different than every other type of draft that you can do. So much that comes into play with positional flexibility and this guy versus that position and how to fill in. I mean, throw it out the wall
Yeah,
with
doesn't exist
underdog.
an underdog,
Yeah,
folks.
like here's what matters. What you can find in the draft. What you can find available, what quality at what point in rounds. And an underdog, I think it's pretty simple from a general standpoint, and that is draft outfielders early. Outfielders are
Yep.
going to go. You need good outfielders. Lock in at least a pitcher early and at least an infielder early, and then just load up for the first 7 or 8 rounds on outfielders. There's going to be a ton of infielders of good
A
quality
ton,
at the end of the
a
draft.
ton.
And you can find pitchers at the end. I mean, you can find
Yeah.
pitchers that you like at the end. So you can always find pitchers and infielders in the last 5 rounds. Good luck finding an
Yeah.
outfielder you like in the last 5 rounds. I mean, although they exist,
There
like
are
they're
some,
there,
yeah.
and
I'm
that's something that we'll talk about.
slowly figuring that out. You have to scroll, like you said about some of these other drafts. You scroll a
Yep.
little bit, then once you are like us and have done enough of these drafts, you already know ahead of time, like, hey, we're gonna go take this guy late. So yeah, the roster construction is a different beast. Outfield, outfield, outfield. But like when I 20 max the bunt and I purposely made a few decisions. Let's see what going a little more heavy over this area feels like. And this, like, don't wait forever to get to outfield, but like maybe I'll wait like 3 rounds to get in the outfield. We'll see where things go just to mix it up because some of the elite infielders are still pretty darn good. Like they do separate themselves, But the later infielders and the later outfielders, there's a big gap as well. So you have to kind of pick your poisons there. And then pitching, obviously, like you said, I like getting an anchor or two, depending on how you want to do it. I've also done some where I literally just go straight outfielders, and then I start figuring it out. That's the fun of it. You can see where it goes. Now, when we're looking at scoring, Spencer, how does this shake up? Because this is where it gets way different.
Way different. So, as I mentioned earlier, first off, no negatives at hitting. So no matter what a hitter does for you, it doesn't matter if he's striking out or getting out, he's going to score you points as long as he's doing something. So you get a different amount of points for a single, a double, a triple, a home run, a walk, hit by pitch, RBI, run, and steal. I didn't bother going and saying all of the different points, but the drivers there, as no shocker, home run 10. But this is kind of surprising. Triples 8. They're just behind. Granted, you don't get that many of them, but still. Doubles 6. That can be a driver of points. You get a guy who gets a lot of doubles, that's a good amount of points right there. Steals 4. So steals, that's a good way to add in bonus points. There's no doubt about that. So that's from the hitting aspect. So the pitching, this is where it's very interesting, because I bet that most people that do these have no clue what the scoring is. I know that whenever I draft with my friends, they don't know what the scoring is. And I know because I've looked, but I don't think most people look. On Underdog, you get 5 points for a win, 5 points for a quality start. That is so interesting and intriguing and so much different. I mean, is there any other format that you play? Anything, Bubba, that you get points for quality or anything for quality starts?
For a few years, when I first joined Tout Wars, they started a new league, and they did innings pitched and quality starts. Is innings pitched and saves hold a different league? I think it was quality starts. Sorry. I've done quality starts before. And it definitely changes the way you approach pitching. Let's put it that way. Because I did a little brief blurb in the Patreon, but I did a deeper article last year, just kind of looking over like the last 3 years of pitchers that finish with, like, let's say 15 or more quality starts. Mm-hmm. There are names on that list that'll blow people's minds. Like Jose Barrios is a gangster in this kind of format, because he's so vanilla, but he gets so many quality starts. This is why Framber Valdez is so much better in this format. Still doesn't go high enough in drafts, weirdly enough.
It's shocking. Framber and Pablo Lopez go in almost the same spot, and those two guys I soak up all the time. Because you can
That's why you can wait if you do it. Yeah.
You can wait. And then, because they're what, round 6, 7, 8, anywhere in that range? Yes, it's so different. And do you know, actually, because I've heard talk of this, but I haven't actually looked at any sort of like graph to see, but it just seems this way. There are definitely got to be fewer starts now than there used to be, or quality starts. Fewer quality starts now than there used to be, because there's just not that many people that go that deep into games. Not many people go 6 innings anymore. It's becoming more and more rare, wouldn't you say?
I would assume so, yes. I have not done the full looks there. I've just kind of focused on the top, like, 40 at the position every year. I haven't gone to the opposite side of it. But logically, yes, kind of goes back to what I said earlier about most rotations have, like, 3 good guys and 2 guys to piece it together. So you're already cutting 2 off of every rotation in that theory. And then you go farther and farther, like you mentioned, guys going fewer innings, 6-man rotations, the turnover on injury. So most of those minor leaguers coming up, they ain't getting quality starts that often. So you just kind of go down that rabbit hole. And that's why, like I said, like Barrios, Framber, Pablo, these guys are just wild what they continually do.
Can I tell you right now, my highest drafted pitcher on Underdog, I can get him in round 15 or on, usually 15, 16, 17. Christopher Sanchez.
I'm with you on that.
I end up just throwing him in on all my pitching staffs, usually as pitcher 5 or pitcher 6, because he's a quality start machine. He gets, I mean, somewhere around 15 to 18 quality starts, pretty consistently. Well, I say this, it's not like he's been pitching for years or anything, but I look at him from that point in the draft as someone that is very solid to give me 17 or 18 quality starts again this year. And he's on an amazing team. So 15 to 20 wins, very, very achievable because the Phillies are going to be good. There's just no doubt about that. But yeah, the other thing with pitching is 3 points for an inning pitched, 3 points for a K, negative three for an earned run. So that's where your one negative category comes an underdog. It comes as an earned run where it's negative three. So, but that's it. That's the only thing against you. So if you have guys, starters that are going out there and not allowing runs and getting Ks and quality starts and wins, that's going to be the driver of your points. So let's talk about the actual format of underdog in most of these tournaments.
Yeah,
Now,
because this is
granted,
also much different than the, like you said, yes, big time.
there are exceptions to this. I will talk about eliminators here in a minute because that's something I really enjoy. I'm a big fan of trying to build those. They're really fun. But most every tournament, you have I always think of it from a football perspective. I find myself wanting to be like weeks 1 through 14. But in baseball, it's 2 week periods, 2 week rolling at a time. Oh gosh, I just had eliminator in my mind. Sorry. In baseball,
Yeah, eliminators 2 weeks. Yeah.
every week that you go, you lock in your best score for that week. And then as you move along, you have to finish in the top two of your 12-team league to then get a ticket to the playoffs. And the playoffs start in the final month-ish of the baseball season. I want to say they start in mid-August because the playoffs and underdog are 2 week periods at a time. So, but you have to get there first and finish first or second in your league in order to get that ticket to move on. Once you get that ticket to move on, you then get randomly inserted into a pod of which this is going to be different depending on what you're in, but let's say you're inserted into another group of 12 teams. These are 12 guys that have also moved on by finishing first or second. So now you can have be going against lineups that might have the same players as you, most likely do, since the better players are going to help you advance. So now you have to, in that 2 week period, finish first out of your group. Maybe second, depending on the tournament, but first or second to then move on again. Then, same thing. Now you have to finish first out of maybe 16 people you get inserted into this second to last week or 2 week period to then move on to the championship. And the championship is where all the money is in underdog tournaments. That's where you want to get. If you can have a lineup that makes to that final week, that's where the fun begins. That's where you can sweat it out and hope. And let me tell you, I haven't had to sweat myself, but I did get to experience it with my best friend last year. My best ball buddy.
Best ball buddy.
I got a, one of my friends who does been doing these drafts with me for years, and I talked him into doing underdog, and he did not like it. And I kind of had to force him, be like, "Hey, come on, do this draft with me. Come on, let's join." He ended up doing like eight drafts last year. He had a team that finished third in last year's Dinger, Bubba.
Ooh, baby.
So he had a big payday from that third place finish last year. So I got to live through that sweat with him. And every single day we were looking at his team, following his players. So let me kind of talk about what things help a lineup using his team as an
Real quick,
example.
let me throw something out there. So just for people's references, this year the prize pool's bigger in the Dinger. It's up to
It
$1 million
is.
total prize. But third place, $10 entry to get in the Dinger. And obviously there's, like right now I'm looking, there's the Dinger at $10, there's the Frozen Rope at 50, the Solo Shot, which I think is really fun, single entry tournament at 75, the Eliminator at 50, there's in a $5 Eliminator, the Bunt, the $3 will come back again. But what I wanted to mention, so $10 Dinger, third place would have got you 40 grand this year, which is cool. And then just to emphasize on what Spencer was saying, so the season goes weeks 1 through 17, so you
Thank you.
accumulate scores each week, and then so then two teams advance to the quarterfinals. That's week 18-19, and then you get semifinals 20-21, and then the final championship weeks 22 and 23. So yeah, now back to where you were about trying to kind of build it all together.
Yep. So you can kind of ask yourself, obviously every year things are going to be different, but what sort of formula can you mix together to have a team to make it there? But then once you make it there, how do you advance each week? And then how are you there in position to finish at the top of these tournaments? So here's a key, at least again, I haven't had this happen to myself. I wish I could, but like I said, living vicariously through my buddy, here's what worked for his team last year. He absolutely nailed the final three rounds of the draft. So, because like I said, I'm sure that everyone is going to have rosters with so much of the same players that are all at the top, but he nailed the final three rounds big time, and that's ultimately what got him there. Now, there is some intricacies to advancing each week, which I'm going to talk about in a second, and how to move on in your pod, at least from what I've seen. But those final three people, one of them was Paul Skeens.
That helps.
Shocker. So you take Paul Skeens as your final pitcher, and he did a six pitcher build, which there's a lot of discussion between people that love drafting these teams. Do you take six pitchers, seven pitchers, eight pitchers? I personally would never do any more than eight. That's kind of like for me a limit or a cutoff.
I usually do seven. That's usually my world.
I like to live in the six or seven range. He did six with this particular lineup. Skeens was the last one. His
That helps.
last round pick was Doyle.
Wow. That helps too. Doyle rules on
Doyle
that.
was huge. O'Doyle rules.
Yes. Yes, it does.
But one of the sneaky best picks was round 19, Andrew Benintendi. So
Boring but good in this format, man. Like so good in this format.
boring but beautiful.
And there are
So
guys like that late still at the outfield right now.
that's what I was getting at earlier with. Yeah, you can still find like these players
Benintendi
exist.
still out there.
You've gotta find this year's version of these guys and then try to hope that they're low owned compared to these advancing teams and that they can help make that difference. Benintendi, for instance. No one ever wants to draft Andrew
No.
Benintendi. He's like you see his name and you're like, yeah, come on. But he signed for a
The most
huge con
money
like
by
the biggest.
anybody in the White Sox history.
I was going to say the biggest contract in White Sox history. He's hitting at the top of their order every single day. That job is guaranteed. It's not going to change. That's not going to change this year, by the way. You can still find Benintendi down at the bottom of these drafts. Nothing's changed. You can still get him. And Benintendi was the second highest factoring scorer for him in the championship period.
He was red hot that last month too.
Because he
That's
was red hot at the end. I mean, like, how would you think that Andrew Benintendi is what helped him finish third?
that's
Because,
beautiful.
it's just, but that's how these things work. He only had, even though he drafted six pitchers, he only had five that were healthy.
See, that's the
So
kicker.
he had Yu Darvish as one of his pitchers, and Yu Darvish missed the last two-ish months of the season. And he made it with the five guys that he had. Now, granted, Skeens at the end was a major driving factor of that, but it was a team where he waited on pitching. So he waited. He didn't. So he waited till round six, which is like what me and you were talking about, wait on Framber or Pablo in that round six area. Well, last year, he waited and got Logan Gilbert in round
Whew. One
six.
of the top five pitchers in
That
baseball.
was his top one. He then waited till round 9-10 and did Sale Rodon on a back-to-back in
Oh
9-10.
man, that's beautiful.
Then added Brandon Pfaadt, who again is just gonna he Brandon Pfaadt actually he factored for him major in the first advancing round of the tournament.
Believe
He had a big two-start week where he pitched on a Monday and a Sunday and had two really good starts and then had a third in the following. So he had a big three-start stretch and helped him advance. So these guys all can help you, but he only had five. See, my mindset is why with six, seven, or eight pitchers is you want to get those 2 start weeks, right? Or in a 2 week period, you want to have a three start. You think of it as a three start period, right? Because that's really what you want in a 2 week period is three and not two. So you do kind of have to get lucky. That's where it's a numbers game of the more you draft, the more options you might have if your team advances and gets there to the end. to hit those two start weeks. But if it goes at the expense of a late round Benintendi, or I'll tell you what his, I didn't tell you his 17th round pick last year was Bryson Stott. Bryson Stott also was a, in two different weeks, he factored for him in the actual 2 week or 3 week playoff period. So these bottom picks that factored at the end, because of course he had great players at the top. You know, he had Tatis, Lindor, Machado, Ellie. Like he had good players at the top, but all those other lineups had those players, right? So, or you know what I mean? Not
Yeah, no, I got
actually,
well,
but.
no, because what you're saying, like, and I'll let you keep going here, but like what you're saying for the listeners is like it's kind of feels, I don't know if boring is the right word, but like I do a bunch of drafts. And honestly, I know a discussion point in the Discord was like these slow drafts suck. But I'm like, I literally put all 20 bunts in the slow draft, and it's kind of like your BB10. I always have picks every time I go in there. And I'm doing it, but like the way my schedule works, I can sit down and do a few, but I can't sit down and do them all, but I want to enter them all. So like that's just what works for me type thing. But it's weird because it feels like no matter like wherever your ADP pocket is, you're almost drafting the same team for a while because the same option. So I try to tell myself to mix it up, and especially in the late rounds. Like early on, you're getting a lot of the same like 4 to 6 outfielders. You're getting the same like the pockets don't change much right now, which they will as we get closer. Like ADP does actually change in the draft rooms, but yeah, it's kind of like the same vanilla teams. They're all gonna look alike until you get late, and then it gets interesting. So that's something I kind of want to add on to what you're saying about those last picks. Those are where you can start taking your chances, especially at infield, man. There's usually like 7, 8 guys I have queued up that I'm like, man, I could take any of these right now, any of them, and I could
Any
see
of
it
them.
working.
I'm Bryson Stott, who I just said, he still is there at the
Yeah.
end of every single
He's
draft.
this format he's so good at because he scores a lot of runs, he steals a lot of bags. Like he might otherwise kind of frustrate you in a roto, but in this format he's great. There's a lot of those kind of guys.
There's so many. And again, as you scroll down, oh, I mean, you can find, it feels like an infinite amount of choices of guys that might be able to hit. Now, I would say this. It's all about how much you're going to want to draft and how often you do these type of things, right? Where you may mix in these random scroll the F down guys, right? You know, because if you're only going to be a drafter that's going to do maybe, you know, 10, 20, something or less type of drafts, you probably just want to go ahead and take your guys, take draft the best teams that you think you can get, and hope that it works out with the players that you want to watch and root for, and you know, the guys that you like. But I mean, I'm doing hundreds of these, and I like to mix things up a lot. So yeah, I do keep a lot of the same groupings of players, you know. So I will have a lot of lineups that might have five or six of the same people in the top 10 rounds. But then I mix it up throughout, and then I change things as to when I push pitching, like, or if I pull
100%.
up pitching, or but almost always infield is a push for me, except for I do, like you said, I do sometimes like to take heavy at the top and maybe three out of the first 4 or 5 rounds with some really good infield. And then I wait. If I've got three good ones,
Hey, you
I
don't need to
won't
do it
look to
ever
draft the
again.
rest until the very end. I mean, I do like to fill some lineups out that way, but who knows what lineup formula is going to work? I
You
mean,
don't, yeah.
it's a crapshoot. So
Especially,
you just try to put yourself in the best position to be successful. So I'll talk about that for a second. Things that I look to avoid. If someone is currently hurt right now,
Oh, yeah.
I'm not drafting them.
No.
Okay. Let me tell you who I have zero shares of. And I will have zero shares of unless I get autoed in. Brandon Woodruff. None.
Yes.
None. I won't take him. Now, could Brandon Woodruff be the key to the winning team in the tournament? Absolutely, he could. If Brandon Woodruff was a stud in September, I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah, that could happen, sure. But it won't be for my team, I'll tell you that, because I don't believe in it. And if he's hurt right now, I'm not going to take him. But what if he was hurt, right? But he's healthy now. I try to, this is hard to do, especially with someone like, huh, DeGrom, this is the real hard mindset to say, like, I'm not going to worry about past injury. But if they are currently healthy, I don't want to stress about not having them because they've already got past that injury. I want to count on the health. So let me just use an example and say, let's just say Robbie Ray, right? Robbie Ray. Now, this guy's been hurt year after year. Most likely, he's going to probably get hurt again. I get it. But you can get him later. He has huge upside because everyone knows Robbie Ray is a big K guy. And or at least he can be. And but he's that person that could hit big, right? That's the way I look at it. He could hit big. He's one of many people that could hit big, and you can get him later. So I'm not worried about the previous injuries because he's healthy and pitching right now. But again, Woodruff, or I'm struggling at the moment to pull up other injured
About Spencer
examples.
Strider.
Strider, great. Okay, great call. I'm
I
not
have
drafting
zero.
Spencer Strider. Hardly. I will say this from a perspective, if I'm doing 100 drafts, I'll probably have 5%. I will occasionally click Spencer Strider. Rarely, though, rarely, very small percent of the time. I like to think of players like that. I always think in the mindset of shares, what percent of the time am I going to take this guy? He's definitely at sub 5% for me this year, but I don't want to have none because also, let me say this. If Spencer Strider is your pitcher, if he falls and he's your pitcher four or five, oh, okay, all right, bit of a different story at that point. Because come the end of the season, there is a much better chance that Spencer Strider will be healthy and a dominant contributing factor than one of these other guys we were talking about. I think that I would easily bet on Strider from August on, and that's where it really matters for the tournament of these. But you have to get there. You have to finish first or second in your league just to get there. So a lot of good it is to have him on your team if he misses all the way till July, and then your team finishes third place and you miss out by 5 points of getting the ticket, So
No, and that's the thing. That's 100%. It's like, we already mentioned how many guys 50% were either on the minor league or injured last year in most formats, and that was in a obviously different format, but same theory. So if you're already taking a guy hurt, you might as well go the like your buddy with Chris Sale last year. Well, he might get hurt, but he's healthy now. Let's see what happens and
See what
take what you can
happens.
get.
Exactly. He took Skeens at the end of last year's draft. Well, me and him have talked, like, who can we find to be this year's Skeens,
I got
right?
one I keep taking.
Let's hear it.
Bubba Chandler.
Oh, from the same team.
Yes, I take him so many times as my seventh pitcher. So many times.
You're not biased at all with that name either, are
Nope,
you?
not at all. It's got to be one sexy looking guy out there just heaving it. That's all
Has
I
to
know.
be. So by the way, I grew up never hearing anyone else that has the name Spencer, and never my whole life growing up, all through high school. Now, how many baseball players are named
A
Spencer?
lot,
A
yes.
lot.
Deer,
It's like
Strider for sure. I know there's got to be more that I'm not even thinking of right
Barry,
now. There you go.
Torkelson,
Yep,
Arrigetti,
I knew it.
Steer. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch. So what were we talking about before? I'm sorry, I just got
Late
distracted on the
pitchers
names.
that could be the
Late
scheme.
pitchers.
I took Chandler as the guy I've been taking a lot of.
We were talking about mixing in Andrew Painter in round 20 with some of our lineups. Will he be this year's guy who comes up in
I've
the
seen
final
that.
2 months and could theoretically dominate in a 2 month stretch at the end of the season? Because that's really all that for your last pick, right? And that last, if it's a sixth or seventh pitcher on your team. But again, they have to get you there. And Painter is currently hurt, so he's on that list of
Well, they already said
currently
he's not
hurt.
coming up till midseason. Like, you already know that.
So that's why I've taken him two times so far out of 100 drafts. So I have done it twice as like a just in case. Bubba Chandler makes way more sense because it's almost a shoo-in that he's going to come up at some point this season. And everything that I've heard, now obviously I haven't seen him, but everything I've heard is that the dude's a stud. So why not? He's a perfect guy to mix in there at the end. But also, you have to keep in mind what percent are you doing that? Like, do you know? What's your Bubba Chandler percent?
Let me pull it up right now because it's a great point.
Is it high?
Let me see drafts, exposure, pitchers. It's 21%, so it's not that high.
1 out of 5, though. So you could say 1 out of 5, though, your team those teams have to get there.
Yep.
To me, I would think that Bubba Chandler would probably be more like a good like 10% of the
Yep.
time guy to mix in at the end. So that hopefully he's on one of these lineups that gets you there, because it only takes the one. But that's just my thought on that. See, I kind of like Verlander at the end. It's gross. It's gross, but like, I mean, if he's Verlander's healthy and the Giants just signed him, it's a pretty good spot. Nobody wants him. He's available at the last round of
You
every
get him with the
draft.
last pick, that's for sure.
So I've been kind of dipping my toe into that Verlander pool recently. I could regret it, but I don't know. I kind of like him there at the end from just the simple fact that he can help you not only get there, but if you told me that Verlander was hot at the end of the season and the Giants were making a playoff push for a wild card, I wouldn't be surprised. That could easily happen. So Verlander could be in that position to get you that good three start week in the playoffs as your last guy. So you know, these are just the type of things to think about.
In that scenario, I'm rooting for you as a Giants fan. Please, that scenario sounds great to me. But all right, we could literally talk the underdog forever, probably. I'm gonna have you
I
on. I'm gonna have
absolutely
you,
could.
yeah, I'm gonna have you on with some other guys. We're gonna do some drafting here one of these nights and have
That
some
sounds
fun
great.
and chat it up. So we're gonna wrap it up there though. But you wanted to let people know where they can find you, and you got some cool things you have put together. I'll let you explain all that.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Well, first off, Bubba said my Twitter earlier. I don't use Twitter though, so if you go, you'll see I don't have it. My last tweet was from like 2015. So, but I have it, so it's there. You can always message me if you want to on there. I'm in Bubba's Discord, Bubba and the Blooms Discord. So anyone who's a member there can send me any message and talk to me anytime. My email is sgtfantasybaseball@gmail.com. I was showing Bubba this earlier. I'm pretty proud of them. I for years have been working on stat pages. It's something that I do. I mentioned earlier that I used to always get the sporting news, Bubba,
Yep,
and
I used
I
to
used to
subscribe to that
love the
back in the day.
fantasy preview
Yep.
of the Baseball Weekly or Sporting News back in the day. I loved it. So I've always like done my own thing. Well, this year I think I'm what I've done is the best I've ever done up to this point. I've got a whole page breaking down specifically for best ball for underdog. I'm sorry, not for underdog, for best ball 10s and for NFBC. I have sheets where all of these impact things that I've talked about, let me just say, I've got some pretty intense, awesome sheets, breakdowns on players that's pretty easy to take in as well. So I'm happy to share those with anyone that wants to look at them. Anyone that wants to talk to me about them, you can message me, email me. So feel free. I'm happy. Had a great time talking with you, Bubba.
Yeah, it was a blast. I'm not kidding. We're gonna have to do this again sometime. I know there's some other guys in the Discord that like to play. I'll get sheep in here. I know you're gonna be on the sheep seats on Friday night.
Yep,
That's
Friday night, I'm
awesome.
going to go and draft with Matthew over there. Yep, it's
Yep,
going to be
that's
super
always.
fun.
Always great stuff. So get a group on. We'll do some drafting and have some fun promoting underdogs some more and really getting it in. And I might have to dip my toe in some of these NFBC formats as well. It sounds pretty easy. The fact I don't have to do anything afterwards is very exciting to my thought process.
Absolutely.
One last question I guess I have for you, and then we will wrap
Yeah.
this up. One thing I do like an underdog, I haven't done it, didn't do it as much last year, but I used to do it a lot, especially when it was called draft back in the day. I like to do the daily ones. Do you ever do that?
I have done it, but no, I don't. I haven't really got
Okay.
into it. I've done it
Okay.
before, but I struggled going daily. I don't bet
Yep.
either because baseball on a daily basis, I can't tell you how
Oh,
many times
it's a
I've made
crapshoot.
DraftKings lineups
Yep.
and those underdog drafts, and it always blows up in my face from a daily basis.
Nope, I get it. I get it. But just was curious because it is same scoring, but obviously different
We will
platform.
talk about Eliminator next time that we
Yes,
talk,
for sure.
Bubba, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that on Underdog, and
Yep.
it's a whole different way to think about your players that
Okay.
I love. So we'll get into that
We
at
will
another time.
do that for sure next time I have you on. We'll talk Eliminator, do some drafting, have some fun in that, but make sure y'all get in touch with Spencer if you have any questions in the Discord, the email, all the good stuff. As I've seen these sheets he's put together, pretty cool stuff, and they meet the colored eye very well. Like it stands out for you as you're
I've
looking
got a
around.
color scheme. Yep.
Yeah,
I
so
was telling Bubba, very much like Bloom. Whenever I saw the Bloom boards, I was like, oh, these are like my sheets.
yep, it's pretty cool stuff. But thanks again for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Bubba.
Everybody else is Bench with Bubba, episode 727, Fantasy Best Ball with Spencer Thurmond. Catch y'all next time.